This evening, I'd like to talk to us about troubles. We all have troubles in some sort.
Yeah, you do.
Do we thank the Lord for those troubles?
Thank the Lord.
What do they do for us?
Good.
I was thinking about this and this thought came to my mind. Are your troubles causing you spiritual problems? Or are your spiritual problems causing you troubles? It's quite a thought. Sometimes we look at troubles and we think, oh my, I don't believe I can do anything today. I believe I'll just stay home. I believe I'll just stay curled up and just kind of recline and maybe my troubles will get better. But you know, sometimes that's kind of a small way to act. And it's a small thing. It causes us to, when we look inside and we kind of pity ourselves or we feel like we can't do anything, it's just a way, it seems like it makes us spiritually lazy.
Yeah.
I was thinking about a real problem I got into one time. And I volunteered to teach a class at the jail. And you know, they started bringing those men in this chapel. And I was just thinking how wonderful. I like just a few men. But there was about 24 men come packing into that room. Some of the worst fellas you ever seen. Loud. One man throwed his book down. He was carrying on and so you really think you can help me? And it was just an awful time. And I was feeling like I was in a lot of trouble. And I was in some hot water. Well, what am I going to do now? Well, I just told him, why don't you just sit down and be quiet for a while and see what, you know, the Lord can do for you. And he piped down. And anyway, the Lord bailed me out of that problem. But those troubles, you know, those same men that came back the next week and the next week, and I learned something from it. Sometimes we have to take those problems that life gives to us and we have to get down in prayer and ask the Lord to help us. So I'm interested this evening, if your troubles are causing you spiritual problems, let's take a look at them this evening just for a moment. What are they there for? We heard in the meeting already, man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And I believe that. All of us have trouble. But if we are whittling our life down to a point that we're real comfortable with it. And I know that people do this. And sometimes as you get older, this is not just for the young people and it's not just for the older people. But it's for all of us this evening.
Yeah.
We tend to get kind of at a place where we like to handle our problems and troubles. We want to get to a place where we feel pretty comfortable. And I don't know what some of the elderly ones are doing in a hot summer day and what you do. But if we're finding a place just to kind of get cool and sit back and I don't know, there's people have television, sit back and kind of watch everything going on around. It's a little form of entertainment for people. And they kind of use it, you know, this is just kind of entertaining. And I need to be entertained. Just look at all the troubles that I'm going through. I need a little bit of entertainment, don't you think? And their self will say, yeah, you do. Just sit down here for a while and just let your troubles just kind of dissolve. And you just kind of take it easy for a while. And you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll just kind of whittle things down to where we just gravitate to a point where we're real comfortable and things are going well for us. And pretty soon, we'll be lean in our soul. Pretty soon, we'll see that what the world has been feeding us and what we've been feeding on brings no real satisfaction. I'm convinced this evening, a lot of us came here because we have troubles. And there's things that's bothering us. There's things that's troubling you. You're not really happy with where you're at spiritually. There's some problems there. And those problems you're feeling externally, is meant to drive you closer to God. And not for us to look for a way to kind of level it out ourselves, but these outside forces are meant to draw us closer to God, not further away, and not just become lukewarm and just self-satisfying. The Lord wants to help us this evening take these troubles and turn them into something that would abound in our spiritual life. In Isaiah 54 and 2, it says this. I love this book of Isaiah. There are so many things in here. He said this, "Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes." I think about how this scripture talks about different ways for us to grow. He said, first of all, enlarge the place of thy tent. Start preparing for some growth. Start preparing these troubles that are seemingly causing you spiritual problems. I believe we have a song that says that something, he will turn that which seems to harm me into everlasting joy. He'll take those troubles and things I'm struggling with and I can't figure out. And if we'll let Him, He'll cause us to be enlarged. He'll cause us to grow. And it's difficult in our life. We're not going to grow spiritually by just wanting to. We're not going to grow spiritually by just having a desire. Someday when I get older, I'm going to grow spiritually. You know, it doesn't work that way. It starts when you're young. It starts when you're young, and some of the choices you make, are you leaving some of the choices to God? Is He having a way in your life? Is He directing you? Is He helping you? And are you making choices that will get you closer to God? I want to bring up a little example here. When I was first saved, I looked around, I saw people raising their hands, and I'd never done that before. I'd never done that before. But I remember the first time I raised my, I couldn't hardly keep my hand down. I felt my soul was just so full of the love of God, and I wanted to raise my hand. And when I did, I felt like there was 100 eyes looking at me like, what does he think he's doing? He shouldn't be doing that. Well, he's not from around here. He's not, who does he think he is? And you know, I overcame that. And I remember the little children used to look at me when I would come to church, and they'd peek up over the bench and look, and it would make me so nervous. I had a headache for so many times in church. I just couldn't hardly get over it. But you know, I did. I found out a lot of those little children really was curious about me. They hadn't seen me in things, and I never paid much attention to them, but folks, we got to get out of the little place that we're in spiritually. There's growth. There's growth. There's challenges. There's things I believe the Lord wants to teach us. He wants to help us enlarge the place of thy tent. Enlarge it. Get more material. Get more material to grow. Ask the Lord to get you in some hot water. Oh, He has a way of doing that. I'll tell you a little something that's kind of funny, but we had a baptizing supposed to a week ago, and we left the heater on, and it never had got hot, and it come time to have the baptizing. The water was, they measured it after we poured cold water. It was over 140 some degrees. It was hot. And I started to get in there, and I won't say who it was, but one of the parishioners said, he was motioning, go ahead and get in. Go ahead. I said, I can't get in that water. It's too hot. But you know, we feel about that way. We ended up having to cancel the bath. We put cold water, ice, and everything. We never could get it cool. But we had it, we had it Wednesday night. So anyway, hot water. What's hot water do? Some of them said, well, you know, you can really get cleaned up. Get on in there. Well, hot water will cause us in our life to do some cleaning. It'll cause us to do some moving around quick. quick. And it'll cause some things that, you know, we'll move around. It'll cause to jump because we've got to do something. Enlarge the place of your tent. How have we been praying in this camp meeting? Lord, help us that it doesn't go down in history as something that we didn't learn something, that we didn't gain some ground spiritually somewhere, that some way in this meeting that we progressed and we put down a few stakes, we lengthened, put down some extra cords. He said, enlarge, let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Let them. And I got thinking, who is them? Them is a bunch of troubles. Let them. Let those things that would harm you, and let those things that you are feeling hurt at people. You're feeling hurt and you're feeling like you haven't been paid attention to. Maybe your troubles are those that you feel like there's a lot of people that are saying things against you falsely. You know, sometimes a false accusation, there'll be strong indignation that gets built up and a desire for vengeance to be done to the false accuser. Sometimes in our false accusations, those are things that'll cause us to lengthen out a little bit more. Me and the Lord knows that wasn't true anyway. Amen. False accusations are something that we can overcome if we let them. Yes. Let them stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Instead of causing the cords to be drawn in tighter, and instead, I'm just going to make the tent a little smaller. You see, it won't cause as much wind resistance. If I get my tent just a little smaller, I won't feel all these big puffs of wind when it comes by. What kind of thinking is that? I'm going to have a smaller tent. I'm going to streamline mine. And I'm going to equip myself that I'll just tune out everything everybody says, and I won't hear all their words that accuse me and all their little snide remarks and things. I'll streamline my tent, make it just a little bit more wind resistant. The Lord said, stretch it out. Let it be a little bit bigger. Expose yourself just a little more. And with the grace of God in our life, Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state that I'm in to be content. And it said there was given to Paul a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. There was things that happened to him. What did it do? It caused Paul to get closer to God. He said, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Why? He had his face set in his determination, and these troubles that he experienced were just a mere something that pass. They'll pass too. They'll be gone. So may the Lord bless us this evening. Strengthen thy stakes. Dig them in a little bit deeper. Nail them down a little bit deeper. And God, I believe, will help us this evening to be able to do that. To strengthen the stakes is knock them in a little more and cause them to be able to hold more tension and to be able to take some of the things that happen to us. In the book of St. John, in the 10th chapter, the 10th verse, it says this. Pray for us this evening. John 10 and 10, it says this. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The more abundant life this evening is what we need in our life, young and old. If we're finding ourselves as we get older, life doesn't have much meaning, maybe we haven't been putting into it what we should. Maybe we've gotten used to soft choices in life, and in places when it's gotten rough, we've been a recluse and pulled back in things. And maybe some of the things that have happened in our past life are causing us troubles today because we haven't learned how to triumph and overcome things. We have to learn how to step over some hurdles sometimes, some difficult places, things that are hard. And you know, the Lord can give us grace to do that. I believe He will. He said, I'm come that they might have life, and what? They might have it more abundantly. More abundant living comes from living and in the spirit and not in the flesh. He said, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. May the Lord bless us this evening. The book of 2 Samuel 22 and 37. I'd like to read this to us this evening. Spiritual growth. My, does it cost us something? Yes, it does, but it's worth the cost. And I believe this evening the Lord is calling His church to move up a little bit higher. Step up a little bit higher. Take the extra challenge. Go the extra mile. And I just believe the Lord is going to help us and be right there. He said in this verse, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip." Enlarged steps. Lord, please help us to have enlarged steps. Enlarged steps. Be able to go a little bit further. He said, "Thou hast made my feet like hinds' feet." Been able to get a hold of the higher elevations. Be able to climb up steeper and be more agile. And be able to climb and go higher. There's somebody counting on you this evening. Somebody's watching you. Lord, help us to have enlarged steps. Sometimes things are, when you get on a steep place, it's a little bit shaky. I know me and this boy, one time we were going to ride this, we had to change a ceiling tile, and it was up on the third floor, and we had to come off the ice rink, which was down below the first level, and we had to go up. And each level was about 10 feet. So we was up near the ceiling. It was around 40. I'm not sure. It was a long ways up there, further than I wanted to go. And we got up there, and this guy was with me. He was acting like, "It's no big deal for me. You know, I can do it." Yes, and when we got up there, that thing was shaking so hard, I thought he was going to tip it over. And I said, "Would you mind if I try to do that?" And I was scared to death. And I got up there, and you had to stand up high and then reach up and get that. And we got that tile put in there, and I'll never forget how shaky. I was scared. Heights scare me. I want to tell you this evening, troubles are scary. Yeah. There are things that come to us sometimes, and we think of troubles. Troubles are difficulties. Troubles can be all kinds. If I live for the Lord and I serve Him, what is my family going to think about me? What is my family going to say? What are my friends that I work with? What are they going to say? My close associates, there's going to be some trouble. I've had people there at work where I worked one time. They was calling me all different kinds of names. And you know, it was fine. It just felt like I could care less what you call me. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to live for the Lord. I've got a determination that I'm going to serve Him. The troubles you're trying to generate are something very minor anyway, and it's not going to cause my mind to be changed one bit. I want to have enlarged steps. Do you understand this evening? There's a desire in a child of God's heart to have enlarged steps. We've made the little baby steps, and we've done the little things and all, but now we're going to make some large ones. We're going to lengthen. We're going to stretch out just a little bit. Last Christmas time, we decided that I get in trouble if I mention names, so I have to be careful. There was this one brother, he's real big, and we told him we're going to go in the jail, we're going to sing songs. We get in the jail, and he said, "Now, Brother Bell, you didn't tell, are we going to, you know, we're going to stay out here and there and there?" I said, "No, we're going right in with them." He said, "We're not, you never told me we was going to do that." I said, "Yeah, sometimes, and we hug them too." "Oh," he said, "I'm not doing it." I said, "Now, brother, I'm going to stand behind you. If they start getting mad, I'm going to get right behind you." I was really encouraging him. But you know, sometimes these little baby steps we take, do you realize what we look like as adults? And here we are going. People's children are looking, "What? That's an adult. Is that what I'm going to be like when I get older?" So shaky and, ooh. to have in large steps, we have to have faith in God. Lord, please help me now. I'm stepping in some areas I don't know I need your help in. Thou hast enlarged my steps. I just love this. I think it's so wonderful to have that faith in God. Lord, I want you to help me. Brother Murphy Allen told me when he was a boy, they would catch a horse and hold on to its tail, and they'd make that horse run and they'd take off. And he said they would be stepping. That horse would be flying. He said you could really travel fast until you tripped. But they'd just be flying across that pasture in large steps. You better hold on, because if you let go, you're in trouble. I don't know. He never told me how he stopped, but I think there was some pretty hard stops sometimes. Not only have enlarged steps, but in 1 Kings, the 4th chapter and the 29th verse, it also says something here that is very good. He said, you've enlarged, 1 Kings 4 and 29, you've enlarged my heart. Solomon was given an enlarged heart. 4 and 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Wouldn't that be what? Lord, help us this evening. You think God has some places for us to grow? Yeah. Are we looking at our troubles and they're thinking, boy, if I didn't have all these troubles, I wouldn't have so many spiritual problems. I could be a good old boy if I just wasn't having so much trouble. Lord, I'd be a good boy. I'd be a good girl, but I'm having all these troubles and it's just causing all these attitudes and I'm having to get upset all the time. Do you know the Lord has a way of turning all that stuff around? And He's trying to tell us today the reason you're having those troubles, because I'm trying to work on some of your attitudes. I'm trying to cause you to be patient. And you're just thinking, Lord, I'd be so much patient. Everything worked. I'd just be such a good person. And some of our spiritual problems, they're causing us trouble. We're not responding to it, folks, in the right way. We need to ask the Lord to help us and change our thinking, change the way that our heart is. We've got some wrong thinking and it's starting to stink. And you know, when you have that kind of thinking, it causes you to do things that just is not right. Lord, help us to have an enlarged heart, to have our steps enlarged. And then let's read over here in the book of Chronicles. I just love this prayer that Jabez prayed, and the young man and his dad had gave all the blessings away before he died, I guess. And here Jabez came along and his father was dead, didn't even know maybe that he had another son coming, and he passed on and already blessed all these older siblings. And Jabez came along and all the blessings was given out. But you know what? He did a little short circuit. He cut around his earthly father because he was already gone, and he went straight to his heavenly father. And he prayed this. Jabez called on the God of Israel in the 10th verse of the 4th chapter of 1 Chronicles. He called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Talking about an enlarged heart. You see how a person that had trouble, and it could have caused him spiritual problems, he could have wilted under it and said, all my brothers, all my siblings got the blessings, and I'm left here an orphan. I don't have, my dad's gone. Well, my mother was still alive, but I'm left here without a father, and I don't have anybody to help me. Nobody to help me. But he cut through and went right to God, and he said, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. He knew the value of a blessing from the God of heaven. As I was thinking about all this, I had a little picture in my mind come of a person inside this little bubble. Inside a little bubble, a little shell, and he was just trying to get out. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. And I thought about, this is where we're at. A lot of people are at, they're crying out, get me out of here. I need help some way. I don't know what to do. Get me, my troubles are causing me so much problem. I'm having spiritual problems. I don't get along at home and I'm having trouble everywhere I turn. Get me out. Get me out. What are we going to do this evening? Do we just stay in the little bubble and we just remain there? Or are we going to try to crack out of it? We're going to make some movement enough to get us out of there and enjoy the abundant life God's provided? Or are we going to stay there where we're at? That's our choice. I can't go in there and get you out of that bubble. I can't. God's the only one that can do that. But I promise you, He wants to help us this evening. He wants to help us, and He wants us to have the want to get out of there. There was a man one time was questioned in jail. He'd been a frequent flyer. He'd come in so many times, and my heart went out. I'd seen him in the newspaper. They wrote up how many times he'd been arrested. Just a person that had been there so many times. And the jailer told me, he said, I talked with him one time, and I said, do you want to be out of here? Do you want to change your life? And he said, there's nothing more that I want to be able to change my life. His mouth is saying this, and his head was going, nothing more I'd like to do than do better. Nothing more. And you know, sometimes we're like that. People are like that. Oh, I just love to be able to have more. I'd love to be able to do. We never change. We stay the same person. The same smell stays on us. Our clothes, the same scent. We have the same scent. Their scent remained in them. There was nothing changed. We can let things make us bitter or better. It's only two choices. I mean, bitter or better, that is the one or the other. And God wants to help us this evening to have a little prayer on our heart. Lord, help me to get out of it. Help me to do better. Help me to progress spiritually. I want to progress spiritually. Lord, I really want to with my whole heart. When we want to do that, I believe there's going to be divine help that enables us to do better. Breaking habits and things is God's specialty. In the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, the 17th to the 19th verse, could we read here something very familiar? The third chapter of Ephesians, 17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. And the next verse says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. We don't want to leave that 20th verse out. According to the power, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. This power that worketh in us is the love of God. It is the Lord, His Holy Spirit coming into our life and working with us, and us taking time to commune with God. You can start off ever so good in a camp meeting, or when you get saved, you can start off ever so good. But if you don't keep that up, and if you don't keep communicating with God, and you don't keep that closeness with Him, pretty soon something that was wonderful and good, it can get away from you. You've got to keep up your prayer life. You've got to keep up the fervency in seeking the Lord. There's nothing like the deadness of the letter. The deadness. One person asked, you ever sit under an unanointed message? He said, oh yeah. Oh yeah. He said, you ever stood under one? Oh, that's even worse. Lord, help us this evening. We want to be able to share the words of life and things that comes in fresh. It comes in from above. It's something that is pure and peaceable, and it's refreshing to us. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Amen.
We need the Spirit of the Lord this evening. We need God's Spirit to help us to be able to turn what seems to harm me into everlasting joy. Instead of those troubles turning us away from God, instead of those things putting us further away and thinking, oh, if I just didn't ask so many of them, I'd get close to God. No, those things are meant to drive us down. To keep us down, keep us humble, keep us near Him.
Yeah.
My mom was just a country girl from Arkansas, and she loved chickens. And we had chickens while we lived in town. I remember going to a feed store, and we bought them, and Mama, had a dog house and turned it to a chicken pen, and had those chickens. Then Mama would go out there and clip their wings. And all it was for, I thought, that looks cruel, Mama. Look, she just take just one wing, just clip those feathers back, and it kept that chicken from flying over the fence.
Yeah.
And that's what God does for us sometimes. Your troubles are God's ways of keeping your wings clipped.
Yeah.
Oh, it hurts a little bit, I'll have to say, but it's to keep us out of the neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
It'll keep you out of trouble. If you let the Lord just use you and humble ourselves, it'll keep us from going astray. We have a song we sing, "What though my life be peace or pain? 'Twill only soon be o'er. I want to walk the way that leads to heaven's eternal shore."
Amen.
If my life is full of problems, if it has troubles galore, I want to ask the Lord, "Lord, please use these things to draw me closer to You. Not further away, but closer to You." Something another song says, that they'll drive me to Thy breast. One of the Wesley brothers, I believe, wrote that song. It'll drive me to Thy breast, it seemed like. What is that, Brother Leslie? That 'twill but make me long for home, or... Anyway, I know what they can do. I may not know the song, but I know what they can do. My dear mother taught me some things. Sometimes through...
Do not pray that life be spent on flowery beds of Eden.
Yes. She taught me sometimes so much through silence and through a few tears. It spoke volumes to me. It spoke volumes. Maybe her words was not something that I wrote down, but something communicated to me through her troubles.
Yeah.
And there was troubles in and sweetness out. I don't know how it works. It's the grace of God, but it's troubles in and sweetness out. The day before she left this life, my dad said, "Is there anything... I can do, or is everything all right?" My mom was laying there and she said, "Everything's all right. There's troubles in, sweetness out." Oh, I'm so thankful, dear ones. Those troubles have a way. The Holy Spirit of God filters those things. Those things that had poison in them. There's people that meant to hurt you in what they said. They meant to hurt you. They wanted to rile you up. Do you realize that? They wanted to stir you up to get you boiling over. And then they'll walk away and say, "Yeah, look what kind of person they are. Just look at them. See them blowing up. Look. They're saying they're a Christian." People do that. Isn't it wonderful? Thank God for the Spirit of the Lord this evening. He will turn what seems to harm me into everlasting joy. Our spiritual problems this evening, we're thinking it's just, I hear these messages about getting close to God and troubles and all these things. It just makes me want to run from the whole thing. Well, I just want to get away from the whole thing. Do you know, when you really get inside and you see where the grace of God is working, you don't want to leave. It's not something you want to run from. You just want to say, Lord, in the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. Precious gold refining, purge the dross away. Till thy glorious image is reflected there. Till the costly jewels of thy grace I wear. Lord, please help us this evening. Not to run, but say, Lord, now you know what it takes to burn me. I'm going to try by your grace to stay here as long. I want to be patient and stay here as long as it takes for you to get something good out of my life. And I'm convinced this evening the Lord has turned the heat up on us. And it's not to run us off. This evening, God didn't let things come to you in life and hardships and things to run you off.
No.
And cause you to feel bitter against the saints, but cause you to feel this bitterness in your heart tonight, and you've got some things congested in there, and they're built up, and you don't have answers for them, and you're troubled about them. You know what? The Lord is wanting you to turn some of those things over to Him and lay them down at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I don't understand why this happened to me in life. I don't understand why I've had to carry this affliction in my life. I don't understand why I was made like I was. But I'm going to commit that to you.
Amen.
And I'm going to lay that down at your feet. And I'm not going to get bitter over it. I'm not going to blame you over it. The Lord is interested in us making heaven our home tonight. And He has a desire to speak to us and temper us. There's a lot of untempered people. You get them under a strain and bing, you hear this. Oh my, that thing was about to break. Boy, they don't have much patience. Look at that attitude they exhibited. Oh, they were so sweet. Praise the Lord. Turn over here. Yo, boy. I remember as a young boy that happened. And I saw this person just really at the altar praying, got out in the car, and there was the awfulest rap jack you ever seen. Started happening. I want something more than that. I want something that's better than that.
Amen.
There's got to be something. If salvation doesn't have anything better, if it doesn't have any better thing to offer than that, I don't want it.
No.
I saw that as a young person. And I want something real. And I hope you do too tonight. And I hope this evening that we're our gauge, that we're measuring troubles. And we're putting it out on a scale. I hope somehow our gauge we can change that and flip it around, or even take our gauge down and say, Lord, I'm going to stop measuring all these troubles and my spiritual successes and all. I'm just having so much difficulty making it. My road is rough. And you know what the scripture in the book of Hebrews says? I'm going to read that to you before I quote something wrong. But He told us here in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the 11th verse. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. How many of you children ever said, Daddy, that was the best whipping you ever gave me? Woo-hoo! Oh, that felt so... You know, if I'd done that to my dad... You like that song? You don't go around and say, oh, that felt so... No. No correction for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. What happens? Tears come down our cheeks. It hurts. We feel remorseful. Afterward. That is what I'm looking for this evening. Is afterward.
Yes.
Afterward. Yep. Lord, help us to wait. The mold and the Lord's making, it's not all set up yet. He's still trying to pour you.
Yes.
You say, I'm 60 years old. I'm 70. I'm 80 years old, and yeah, the Lord's not through pouring you yet. You've got to be pliable. The mold's not filled, and He's trying to go, come on now. All right. And He heats us up. Now will you fit my mold? A little more heat possibly. And you go, I'm not going to church anymore. It's just pain, suffering, pain, suffering. Oh, I just... And you know, the Lord is saying, I want you to be like me. I'm trying to mold you into something, into someone like me. I'm trying to make you look like me. You're trying to look like somebody else. It's not very pretty. And He said here, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Yeah. You can say, all right, Lord, you've got enough now. Let me out of here. And we just go off and walk in the same old small steps we walked before. Oh. No, He said after the correction, then it's exercise. After the correction, it's exercise. There's movement. You've got to, and the Lord is watching. I was noticing not long ago, this young man had a spring in his, my wife and I was talking about it. He had a spring in his step. He had a spring in his step. He had someone there that he was really attracted to. And it was a time of great celebration. That spring in his step. Boy, here he was. Do you know what? The Lord is looking for a new spring in our step. He's going, there's old Bell down there. I'm going to help him. I'm going to send something his way, and he's going to hop a little bit when I put the trials to it. He's going to, and I'm going to watch him. It's going to cause him to really bounce a little bit, but I'm going to put some spring in his step. You know, the Lord wants us to exercise. Keep going. Don't stop. Amen. If you learn something, thank God for it. And some of the hard things we have to thank Him for too. Like Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. We have to keep going. Keep silent, keep sweet, and keep stepping. Amen. He said, those that are exercised, you have to keep exercising. You learn something, keep exercising and expound on that and keep going and looking at back in your experience. Say, the Lord brought me through that thing and I made it and it produced. I can see how I grew spiritually. Now I'm going through this, and Lord, by your grace, I'm going to make it through this also. And I'm going to keep on going. The 12th verse says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. But let it rather be healed. Making straight paths for our feet. Because it's not only the trail that I'm blazing in my life that matters. It's those walking behind. I had a dream one night. I was climbing up this real steep rock. I'm afraid of heights, but I got up to a place and I had to jump over from one spot to the next. I had to jump. And I got there, and I looked down there, it's deep, and I went like this, and started turning around, and I looked, and there's a whole bunch of people just quietly going. And I thought, if I turn around, they won't be able to come either. And I woke up, my hands are sweating, and I thought about that. Lord, help us to, when we get challenging places, to not stop, keep on going. There's people watching me. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Yeah. People are watching. If they don't see mom and dad making a straight path for their feet, and children come along and say, I couldn't make it. My mom and dad, less such crooked things, broken relationships, and all kinds of attitudes. I can't make it. I can't do it. It's impossible. It's not for us only. It's for our children. And I'm really stirred in my heart because I feel responsible. And I believe the Lord wants to help us all this evening to make straight paths for our feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Someone coming along that is not as strong as we are. Someone coming along that doesn't have the abilities that we have, maybe, and they can't understand the things we, but they just look at it and it discourages them. Can't do it.
Yes.
Lord, help us this evening. Amen. Surface relationships makes weak links in spiritual growth. Also, I'm almost through, but our choices in life and our relationships with God and others, if we're always on the surface and things are just always on a, there's a thin veneer and our life is so thin, those things make weak links in spiritual growth. Lord, help us to be people that are deeper, dig deeper, that think deeper, that go further, that has the Spirit of God in our life. Please pray for me.